So, I need you to open your Bible to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. We're going to do things a little bit different. We're going to look at a lot of scripture this morning. It's going to be a different message. Kind of a Mother's Day message, kind of not, but there's going to be two messages in one. So the first message, I want to just talk about some other stuff, but man, we need to talk about some other things here towards the end of the message. So Genesis chapter 2 and verse 24. I want to show you the very first mention of the word mother. So Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. Is everybody there? Say amen. All right. So we know this verse. We've heard this verse. We quote this verse all the time. It says, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Everybody see that? So he says, a man shall leave his father and his mother. Doesn't say a young boy, does it? It doesn't say a little teenager. It doesn't say a man boy. Because we know a lot of man boys, don't we? They may be 25 and got facial hair, but they act like they're 13. He says, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. How many Facebook junkies we got? 5 Facebook junkies. Okay. Some of you are lying. I'm just saying. Some of y'all are lying. Man, I just tried to stay off of it yesterday and just kind of read all the different posts. People taking pictures of their graduates. Mamas crying. Seeing videos. And I ran into, about hit a guy yesterday. Sun was in my eyes and I about ran into this guy walking across the street. He's like, hey, man, slow down. I'm like, oh, okay. So I rolled my window down and I apologized. I was like, dude, he goes, I didn't come all the way from New Mexico to get hit. I said, well, I didn't want you to come all the way from New Mexico to get hit either. Yeah, I should have shared the gospel, but I was too upset. I thought I was going to kill this guy. And I thought he was going to kill me. This guy's massive. Neither way. Anyway, so I'm like, man, there's people coming from all over the place for graduations. And I just see a bunch of dads just walking with proud. I mean, and mama's just boo-hooing. Just boo-hooing. Why? Because the writing's on the wall. It's about time to let go. It's about time to let go. And here, the very first mention of the word mother, the first mention of the word father, has to do with the family dynamic. And here's the whole purpose. To raise children up, to be adults and leave. That's the whole point. And I know I joke about being an empty nester. I do. I joke. I'm still going to be in my 50s when I'm an empty nester. And I know I joke about just kicking them out the door and seeing them go launch. But I'm just going to tell you, I'm going to be a blubbering mess when both of my children walk out the door. I'm going to be a mess. But that's the plan. That's the point. My mom always told me, I'm not raising kids, I'm raising adults. She always told that to us. Why do I have to learn this? Because I don't want you coming in asking me how to wash your clothes when you're 20. Why are you doing this? Because I don't want you to have to ask me how to boil water. She was always making us do things we didn't want to do because she's training us, preparing us to leave the house because she didn't want me to come back. She told me that. Numerous occasions. I don't want you back. She goes, once you leave, you have one comeback. And that's it. I've yet to cash that in. Lord willing, I never have to cash that in. Right? But here's the reality. Our whole purpose of raising children is to understand we're not raising children. Children are nothing more than adults in training. Right? And we're training them up to leave. And I'm not a mama. Praise the Lord that I am not a mama. I want you to go to Psalm 127. Psalm 127. Psalm's right in the middle of your Bible. And the reason I go in this direction is I was preparing in 1 Samuel. I was preparing just to stay in 1 Samuel on Mother's Day and just keep walking through that. That's that passage where King Saul calls David and says, hey, call Jesse and tell Jesse to send your son. And we're going to get into that next week. But Jesse has to leave his father's house as the youngest. Everybody else is at home, but the youngest has now been called to go to the kingdom. And I'm just reading this thing going, there's no mention of his mama anywhere. There's no mention of David's mom at all. It's all about Jesse and David and this and that. And it just got me wondering, man, I wonder what she's thinking. Wonder what's going through her heart to see her youngest boy launching off, being called into government service, right? And so I just begin to just go through all that thing, and then I'm looking at Facebook, and everybody's crying because they're graduating and all kinds of different things. So Psalm 127, verse 3. Psalm 127, verse 3 says, "Lo, children are an inheritance of the Lord." Did you get that? They are not a nuisance. Someone needed to hear that. Children are not a nuisance. They're heritage of the Lord. He says, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. Here's your reward for you. You get children. Verse 4, he says, as arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are the children of the youth. A couple weeks ago, I had the opportunity to take my son to National Wildlife Turkey Federation Youth Shoot. Now that is hard to say. So I took him there and shooting the BB guns and he's shooting 22s and his favorite thing on the planet to shoot is a bow and arrow. I don't have a clue how to shoot a bow and arrow, but he's working this thing and doing it all. And so last night we were just talking about this passage, just he and I. And I said, man, just talk to me about how important an arrow is. Well, Dad, it's got to be straight. It's got to have the feathers just right. It's got to be sharp. It's got to be this. He just laid it all out, and I said, that's right, son. What do you think your daddy is trying to do in you? The Bible says you are an arrow. I'm trying to do everything I can to make you straight and to make you sharp and to make sure all the feathers are just right, because there comes a time where it's got to come out of the quiver and be shot. I said, then what do you do? And he goes, well, Dad, I got to put it on. I said, yeah, okay. You got to put it on, then what? He goes, then I got to draw it back. I said, well, that's you tell me, because I don't know. So you tell me how this works. And he just pulled it back nice and slow. And I said, buddy, that's you growing up. Just to a point where I can't pull back anymore. You're ready. And I said, then what? I got to let go. And he goes, no, Dad, you got to aim. I'm like, whose kid are you? What, you ready to preach on Sunday? So sure enough, you got to aim. And that's that 18, 19 years of age. Let's just aim you. Point you to the Lord. Point you to the target. And there comes a point, Mama, you got to let go. And watch that arrow soar. There comes a point, you just got to let go. And I know I joke about it, but I'm going to be a blubbering mess when my daughter drives off. I am. I'm going to be a blubbering mess when my son drives off. But one of the hardest things for a mother to do is let go. And that is what Psalm 127 talks about. So here's what I want to do. I just want to take just a few moments and look at a few passages of some examples of mothers that have to let go for various reasons. And that's part A of the message, right? So go with me to Exodus. Back up. So Genesis, Exodus. Exodus chapter 2, and specifically in verse 3. This is a story of Pharaoh getting ready to have all of the Jewish-born males killed. And here's what he did. He said, let's kill every child, lest they keep propagating, unless they keep reproducing. And so Jochebed, that's Moses' mom, Jochebed, her name's not mentioned here, it's mentioned in chapter 6, but Jochebed gets this news, and she's pregnant. Can you imagine being a mama, pregnant, knowing that as soon as this baby is born, the government's going to kill it, and you don't have a say? And that's exactly what's going on here. Now keep reading here, verse 3. And when she could not longer hide him, She took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done of him. Can you imagine? I know that's a Sunday school story we talk about all the time, and we make little arks, and we put the little baby doll in there, and we put it in the water, we do all that type of stuff. This is a huge deal. Can you imagine putting your baby boy, 3 months old, in crocodile-infested waters? Can you imagine that? And knowing that this is his only chance to live. And launches it off, and she disappears. She can't handle it. She can't watch. And so here comes Moses' sister watching, following along. And wouldn't you know it? Wouldn't you know it? It'd be Pharaoh's daughter that happens to find the baby. Right? And it takes the baby in unto her. And looks at Moses' sister and says, "Find me someone to nurse this kid." She goes, "I got the perfect person. How about his own mama?" So now she thinks that's the last time she's going to see her boy. Here comes her daughter and says, "Hey, they want you to nurse this. Oh, he's alive, number one. And number two, I get to have another moment with my child? Praise the Lord. How amazing is that?" But check this out. Check this out. Look at me in verse 10. "And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son." Did you catch that? She could prolong that process, right? She could prolong the process of nursing this, her son. But she weans him, takes him to Pharaoh's daughter, and lets go again. She has to let go of her son twice. Why? So that he's able to live. So he's able to live. Now, moms, I don't know your stories, but I bet there's at least somebody in this room right now that's had to have that issue where you've had to let go just so they could live, just so that they could make it. And that had to be one of the hardest decisions, giving up a child for adoption or whatever, because that's what you're dealing with here is adoption. I don't know what it is that you've had to do with, but moms, one of the hardest things you have to do is to let go of your child. And that's not supposed to be done until they're grown and ready to leave. This one didn't have an opportunity to grow, not in your home. Come to find out, he's going to be the one that's going to lead the people out of this bondage. She had no clue about that. She just, in faith, said, "I've got to give my son an opportunity to live. And for that to happen, I have to let go." I can't even, I guarantee you, I couldn't have done it. I would have tried to run. I would have tried to something else. But she does it in faith. And God meets her right where she's at. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 21. Now, this is a hard passage. Because let's just be honest, sometimes moms, sometimes dads, we got to get this. We have to let go of our children because of the consequences of their sin. It's hard that you have to let go of your children for the consequences of your sin. Now check this out, Deuteronomy chapter 21. This is a hard passage. And if you are under the age of 18, you ought to be grateful for the cross. You ought to be thankful that we're not living under the law, because this is getting pretty intense right here. Verse 18, "If a man have a stubborn and rebellious son," uh-oh, context, right? "If a man have a stubborn and rebellious son," look at this, "which will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and that when they have chastened him will not hearken unto them," look at this, "then shall his father and his mother lay hold on him, bring him out unto the elders of his city and unto the gate of his place, and they shall say unto the elders of his city, this our son is stubborn and rebellious, he will not obey our voice, he is a glutton and a drunkard, And all the men of his city shall stone him with stones that he die. So shalt thou put evil away from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. What did you just read? What in the world? If there's a rebellious child in the home, and you've given them instruction, and you've disciplined, and you've given opportunity after opportunity after opportunity, and they're still clinging onto their sin, the lesson here is not go kill your son, right? The lesson here is sometimes you got to let go. Sometimes you got to let go. And that's a hard thing. Praise the Lord that we're not dragging kids to the town square and stoning them with stones. Amen? Some of you are thinking, I don't know, that might be a pretty good idea. No, it's not a good idea. It's not a good idea. But notice this. I think a lot of, I'm just going to take a sidestep here, commercial break. A lot of kids we call rebellious are not rebellious. Because they're not rebelling against any authority whatsoever. They haven't had any authority at all. They haven't had instruction. They haven't had discipline. They haven't had anything like that. They're not rebellious. They just don't know any better because no one's poured into them. So if you're sitting here today and you think, well, my child's rebellious. Well, hold on a second. Don't call a child rebellious unless you've done your job. Are you instructing? Are you disciplining? Are you doing it as a team effort? Are you bringing in others to help? Right? There comes a point in time, though, moms, and I've had to counsel people, where you got to let go because they want to hold on to their sin more than they want to hold on to a relationship with you. And it's sad. Moms sometimes have to let go and watch their kids go off into prison. Moms sometimes have to let go and watch their kids go off and make some really horrible, horrible choices. And it just breaks my heart. And maybe that's where you are. Maybe you're in a spot right there. Or maybe you're one of the children of one of those moms that had to let go of you. I know that's heavy. It's supposed to be happy today. Well, I'm going to eat a cheeseburger later. I'll be happy. But unfortunately, I think a lot of people, we don't talk about stuff like that. And it's important to understand. Part of being a mom is making the hard choice of letting go. Because you got to take care of you a little bit too. Amen? You got to take care of you too. We've looked at this, I feel like a year ago. It hasn't been that long, but look at 1 Samuel chapter 1. I don't know if you've figured this out, but we're going to be in the book of 1 Samuel for quite some time. I'm sure you've already figured that out. It's what, 31 chapters long? We're on chapter 16. But here's what we're going to do. We're going to walk through it until we reach a stopping point, and we're going to take a break for about a month, and we'll do something else, and we'll come back, right? I want to keep it fresh. We have some things planned for this summer, for sure. But 1 Samuel chapter 1 is a story where Hannah, remember this? Hannah prays for a son. She doesn't just pray for a child. She prays specifically for a son. And you see that in verse 9. So Hannah rose up after they had eaten and drunk. Eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon the seat by the post of the temple of the Lord, and she was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. She was willing to have a child that would not grow up in her house, because she desperately wanted to have fruit. She wanted to have children. All right, so God blesses her. She gets a son. She begins to wean him, verse 24, and when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bullocks and one ephah of flour and a bottle of wine and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. God answered my prayer. This is exactly where I was praying. This is exactly what I prayed. This is exactly what I prayed. That God has answered my prayer. You were there. When I was praying, you thought I was a drunk. I was in bitterness of soul, and here I am with the answer to my prayers. That's awesome testimony, especially for the man of God that had a whole lot of doubt, right? As there she is holding this kid and said, for this child I prayed. Therefore, verse 28, therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord, and he worshiped the Lord there. So here's another example of a mom letting go. What's she letting go? She's letting go so that her son can serve the Lord. She's letting go so her son can serve the Lord. It was July 2004. Ambassador Baptist Church of White House, Texas calls and asks me to come and be their pastor. I was pretty happy where God had us here, right? But I knew God was moving us. At the exact same time, I also know that Kara has lived in only one town her entire life. She lived in one house her entire life until she married this ugly dude and moved her from one house to a lot of houses, right? One of the hardest conversations we had to have was to tell Raymond and Sharon they were getting ready to take her daughter and their granddaughter 8 hours away. Not once did they say, you got to stay here. Not once did they say, no, it's the wrong choice. Not once. They said, if God's doing it, then we'll support you. We're behind you. And they've already let go of their daughter. But it's nice when daughter's really close. But not when daughter's 8 hours away. And I don't know if you figured this out, but Kara and Sharon are pretty tight. Pretty close. Those are some hard years. There's a lot of highway miles put in between. But that was hard for that mama. That's hard for that mama to let go. But she's willing to do it so that her daughter could serve the Lord. Moms, can I just challenge you? When your child has book, chapter, and verse, and you know that this is where God is calling them, don't get in the way. Don't hinder that. Let go. Let go and watch that arrow soar. Watch that arrow soar. It'll hit the mark. You never know. That arrow might be a boomerang. They come right back and live in your living room for a few weeks. Oof. Don't ever live with your in-law for 3 weeks. I'm just sitting. Okay. You just never know when it's time to let go. That's one of the hardest things. I haven't had to be there yet. That's a hard, hard thing to have to let go so that your children can go. It's brutal. Look at 2 Samuel chapter 12. When you get to 2 Samuel chapter 12, David has raped Bathsheba. Bathsheba becomes pregnant. David has Uriah killed. So now Bathsheba has now been raped. She's now impregnated with a child who is fathered by somebody that is not her husband. And now her husband has now been killed. And now David has brought her in to become his wife. And now she's in the kingdom. This child is born. Nathan the prophet comes to David and runs him through a process. And David understands that this child is not going to live as a result of his sin. He pours his heart out. He's crying to the Lord for God to rescue and to save this child. Look at me in verse 19. It says, "But when David saw that his servants whispered, David perceived that the child was dead. Therefore David said unto his servants, Is the child dead? And they said, He is dead." Verse 24. "And David comforted Bathsheba his wife, and went in unto her, and lay with her. She bare a son, and called his name Solomon, and the Lord loved him." I didn't want to address this, but I felt like we needed to. Unfortunately, sometimes mamas have to let go because their baby didn't make it. Sometimes they got to let go. Because of sickness, or they got to let go because of losing the baby in the womb. They got to let go for a lot of different reasons. And unfortunately, that's happened. And I know there are ladies in this room that have been gone through that. They've had to endure that. And I can't even imagine the pain and the reminder at times for you. But sometimes you got to let go because of that sickness, because of death, because of those hard times. And if you don't let go, it will consume you. Amen? It will consume you. It will destroy your soul. And I'm not going to promise you that God will give you another child. That's not what I'm promising. But when I look at this text, Bathsheba has another son. And this is the son that does pretty amazing things for the Lord, at least the first half of his life. That God can bring blessing even in the difficult times. And I'm not telling you it's easy. I'm not telling you get over it. That's not just something you get over. But there comes a point sometimes, mamas, you got to let go. We live in a messed up world, don't we? With a lot of pain. And I remember my grandma. Her last child didn't make it. Her name was Vicky, my Aunt Vicky. She died of SIDS a few months after she was born. I never met her. I didn't come until quite some time later. But I remember any time my grandma would hear the name Vicky, she would just well up in tears. It was a spot in her heart, you know. And I tried to talk to her about it. She never wanted to talk about it. She was very bitter. Very, very bitter about it. And those are some hard times to counsel. I didn't really want to address it, but I felt God saying, no, we got to address it today. Sometimes we got to let go for some hard things, whether it's SIDS or baby not making it, or even later in life. Maybe you've had to lose a child to a car accident or war, you name it. Sometimes you got to let go. And those are hard ones. I want to look at Luke chapter 12. And specifically, let's start in verse 42. Luke chapter 12, verse 42. And the Lord said, "Who then is that faithful and wise steward? Whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth I say unto you, that he will make him ruler of all that he hath." You see that? All that he hath. And then he says, verse 49. He's saying, "Hey, I'm leaving, but I'm returning." Verse 49, "I am come to send fire on the earth, and what will I if it be already kindled? But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how am I straitened till it be accomplished? Suppose ye that I'm come to give peace on earth? I tell you, nay, but rather division." This is Jesus at the end of his ministry. He's laying it out, making it clear that there's going to be a time of separation. There's going to be a time of division. Verse 53, "The father shall be divided against the son against the father, the mother against the daughter, and the daughter against the mother, and the mother-in-law against the daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law." What in the world are we talking about here? Go to John chapter 19. John chapter 19. Look at this. Verse 25. "Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene." Whole lot of Mary standing before the cross, right? Verse 26. "When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst." Verse 30, "When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost." Here's a mom that had to give up an innocent son to take your sin upon himself, to die a death that you deserve. And she had to sit there and have a front row seat to watch it. She watched her son be executed for something he did not do. But he came to fulfill that which he came to do. And Mary had to let go to watch his son, or watch her son, be that ultimate sacrifice for you and I. That's one strong woman. One strong woman. And Jesus, before he dies, makes sure that John takes care of his mama for the rest of her days. Comes to the point where she had to let go. And I'm telling you, praise the Lord that she did. Now, she'd been there already once, chased after Jesus one time and tried to get him to stop, tried to take him to the loony bin, trying to say, you know, you need to stop. And she didn't want to let go then. But here she is watching her son be crucified. She let go for you and I. It's one of the hardest things. I don't know if you've ever seen this video. It's a video of a railroad engineer. And he's in charge of moving the tracks for when the train comes. It comes this way, or it goes over the bridge. But there's a drawbridge for boats to come through. Some of you may have seen this video. Well, the bridge is up, and the train is ahead of schedule, and here comes the train. This was the day of all days. He had his son come to work with him. And his son is down playing around the bridge. And he watches as his son falls. And he knows that this bridge has to come down or the train or the train is going to go into the river and everybody's going to die. But he has to make a split decision. Do I go and rescue my son and watch everybody die? Or do I drop the bridge, allow my son to die so that everybody can live? Man, it's a hard one to watch because they did a really good job with this thing. And he makes the tough decision, pull the lever and drop the bridge. And his son plummeted to his death. And everybody on the train has no clue. They don't know the pain he's in. They don't know anything he's going through. He had to make the choice to let go so that others could live. You understand that there was a woman that did that? She let go of her son so that he could make the ultimate sacrifice so that you could live. And so that's my cry to you. Would you accept that free gift of salvation if you're here today and you don't know Christ? Let today be the day you accept that free gift of salvation, because there was a mom that let go of her son to be that sacrifice for you. Now we have a few moments for part B of the message, and honestly, it won't take that long. Go with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, because I know what some of you are thinking. You came, you sat down, and you ain't no mama. You're not a mom. You're not a dad. You're having a hard time relating to this. Well, then I don't say Happy Mother's Day to you. Here's what I say to you. Happy Spiritual Parents Day to you. Happy Spiritual Parents Day to you. Because you should be leading people to Christ and have newborn babes all around you. Amen? You should have fruit to your account. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7 says, "But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children, just like Jochebed was with her son Moses." You are to cherish that next generation, verse 8. "So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you were dear unto us." Happy Spiritual Parents Day. Grab a hold of that child. Love that child. Love that brand new believer in the Lord. Minister to them. As a nurse cherisheth her children. Verse 11. He says, "As ye know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children, that ye would walk worthy of God who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory." Here's what Genesis chapter 2 and verse 24 is: a man leaving a father and mother, cleaving to his wife, and they becoming one. Here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 7 through 12, you have believers raising spiritual children to walk in maturity as they serve the Lord. Notice the word he says in verse 12, "that you might walk worthy of God." Let go of the arrow and watch them walk worthy of the Lord. What does that mean, to walk worthy? It means like you are supposed to. That's what it means. It means as becometh. That's what it means. It means appropriately. So let me ask you this. Are you walking worthy of the Lord today? Are you walking like you're supposed to? Or are you just believing in God? It's one thing to believe. It's a whole other thing to do. Amen? Now, two more passages right next to each other and we're out. We're done. 2 John. When was the last time you've been to 2 John? Go to 2 John. It's right before the book of Revelation. So go to the book of Revelation and hang a left. Don't blink. You missed it. Like many small towns in western Kansas. Right? Go to 2 John. I'm from there. I can say that. Verse 4. 2 John, verse 4. It says, "I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father." You see that? So here's John. He comes up. He sees the fruit of these people that he's writing to. He goes, and here's what I find. "I find your children walking in truth. And it makes me smile. There's great joy in my life when I see that." Look at 3 John. Look at the very next book in verse 3. 3 John 3 says, "For I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in truth." How many of you mamas in here would say, man, you love hearing when somebody's bragging about your own kid? Nobody else likes that? Nobody, no mom? You don't like it when somebody's bragging about your kid? That's exactly what he's excited. Somebody's talking about his kid, and they're saying, man, they're walking in the Lord, and they're serving the Lord. He says, man, there's great joy when I'm hearing testimony of this. Verse 4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. That's the heartbeat of a child, or of a parent. That's the heartbeat of a mother. That's the heartbeat of a father. That is the heartbeat of a discipler. Is that you have great joy that when you hear testimony, you see what's going on in their life, and you look at their life and you say, man, they're walking in truth, and they're doing it without holding your hand. Because you raised them right, and you trained them right. That is Happy Spiritual Parents Day, right? That is what it's supposed to look like. Let go. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty hunter, right? You got to let go. Man, it's a great joy we can watch it hit the mark. There's a lot of celebration when somebody hits the bullseye, isn't there? There's a lot of celebration when we see a believer walking in truth. There's a lot of heartache when we see a believer choosing not to do that. For sure. Let's stand together. So happy Mother's Day to you. I love you. Praise the Lord. The word always meets us right where we are. Please keep in prayer the Shelbys, but also please keep in prayer our space issues. Right? Look around. We're not full. We got some more people coming in the next service. Right? So we need space. We need place. And we need a place where everybody's not either hot or freezing. Right? Because I see people doing this, and I see people doing this. So we're a little bit of mixed. Right? So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Let's trust God to just have a great day. And moms, I'm just challenging you. Rejoice when your children are walking in truth. And take advantage of the opportunity to let go and watch them become who God wants them to be. Amen? They're on loan to you. They're not your kids. They're the Lord's. In Jesus' name. Father God, I thank you. I thank you for your word. I thank you for meeting us where we are. Talked about some heavy things. And yet, Lord, we finished off just being able to rejoice to know that there are children, sons and daughters of the King, walking worthy of you. Lord, I thank you for who you are. I thank you for being our Lord, being available, being a very present help in the time of trouble. Lord, thank you so much for loving us. Thank you so much for dying on the cross for us. Thank you so much for giving us an example of what it is to honor a mother. Lord, we give you the honor and the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Happy Mother's Day.